So Reed Hastings is finally leaving Netflix officially. After reshaping the entire streaming industry, he's stepping down. Can you believe it?
Seriously, end of an era. Wonder what this means for Netflix's future. But first, let's make sense of all the latest from tech.
Welcome to Hot Reload. I'm Alex here with Jamie, and we've got a packed episode for you.
That's right. We're diving into the AI wizardry of Claude Opus 4.7, the latest from Cloudflare's email service, and a surprise from Codex attempting to tackle almost everything.
Plus, we can't forget Reed Hastings leaving Netflix. What a shocker. A lot to unpack today.
Absolutely. So grab your coffee because we're about to deep dive into the future of tech, starting with some big updates in AI.
All right, this week saw the release of Claude Opus 4.7, and it's igniting quite the discussion across the tech world.
Claude Opus 4.7, I've been seeing buzz about that. Why is it such a game changer?
Well, it's a big leap from its predecessor, Opus 4.6, especially in handling tough coding tasks. It doesn't just follow instructions more accurately, it actually verifies its own work before giving results.
So it's not just smarter, but also self-checks its work. That sounds pretty valuable.
Exactly. Developers using it can confidently hand off complex tasks that once required meticulous oversight, which is a notable efficiency gain.
That's interesting. What else stands out with this model?
Besides coding, Opus 4.7's enhanced vision offers higher resolution image processing. It can deliver professional quality slides and interfaces, marrying technical prowess with design taste.
Higher resolution sounds like a boost for those working with visuals, but what does that mean practically?
Take a company like Solve Intelligence. They're using it for life science patent workflows involving detailed technical diagrams. Opus 4.7 quote S precision helps streamline complex tasks like drafting patents.
And what about costs? Is it the same as Opus 4.6?
Yes, no changes there. It's priced at $5 per million input tokens and $25 per million output tokens. But watch out, the new tokenizer can increase token usage by up to 35%.
More tokens for the same tasks. That sounds like a hidden cost.
True, though, users can manage that by adjusting task parameters or prompting less detail. Net token efficiency is reportedly better on internal evaluations.
What about cybersecurity, I remember? Some mention of safeguards.
Right, with Project Glasswing in the mix, Opus 4.7 isn't as cybersecurity capable as the Mythos preview model, but it's designed to block potentially risky requests automatically.
So they're being cautious, testing safety features on this model?
Exactly, and they're inviting security pros to help refine these features through a cyber verification program.
Interesting strategy. How does it handle in practical tech environments?
In benchmarks, Opus 4.7 outperforms previous models in efficiency and intelligence. For instance, on multi-step coding tasks, it's about 13% better in resolution over Opus 4.6.
It sounds like a big step for scalability. Is the real-world feedback matching these improvements?
Absolutely. Hex, an early tester, found it significantly speeds up their workflows. Developers appreciate its ability to push back during discussions, makes it feel like a smarter coworker.
And what's the general consensus on its early performance?
Strong across the board, with better task success rates and fewer tool errors reported. Some say it feels like a real step up in intelligence, handling complex problems and encouraging new workflows.
Fascinating. It seems Opus 4.7 isn't just an upgrade, it's raising the bar. What's the next story about?
Up next, Cloudflare is rolling out a new email service that's getting a lot of attention. Stay tuned for how they aim to redefine enterprise email networks.
So, Alex, what's this about Cloudflare shaking up email services?
Right, Jamie. Cloudflare has launched a new email service, and it's big news for digital security fans. It's no longer just about websites. Email is now in the spotlight.
But isn't email the same, whether it's Cloudflare or anyone else? What's different here?
Good question. Cloudflare's service aims to enhance email security and functionality for developers, making email more than just plain communication. It's now an integrated app tool.
How so, and why does that matter for everyday users?
Well, first, they've introduced an open source agentic inbox, which functions as both an email client and a platform for automating email workflows. This means you can have automated responses, classification, and more. It's all about making email interactive and efficient.
So they're kind of transforming email into a high-functioning tool, but what makes it really secure?
Security is where Cloudflare shines. Email service ensures emails aren't flagged as spam by automatically configuring SPF, DKM, and DMARC records. Your messages land in the inbox, authenticated and free from suspicious activity.
Automatic configurations sounds like a big relief for anyone not tech-savvy enough to wrestle those security settings manually.
Exactly. And besides security, this service hooks email into your app's broader workflow. Think of it as giving your app its own email, enabling intricate interactions like bots that can autonomously answer emails.
So developers and businesses get a sophisticated toolset to manage communication without needing extra layers of software or a steep learning curve. Am I right?
That's precisely it. By providing features like the email sending binding from their Web Workers and Agents SDK, developers can integrate their applications directly with email channels effortlessly.
That sounds powerful. How does this compare with traditional email service providers?
Traditional providers require juggling multiple services for integration. Here, everything's bundled into Cloudflare's network, fast, cohesive, and globally low latency. It's a game changer for bi-directional communication.
It sounds like they're redefining what email can do. So it's not just about sending messages anymore.
Far from it. With tools like durable objects for state management and agentic workflow, emails drive processes, handle escalations, and support complex scheduling, all as part of a seamless infrastructure.
That's quite a leap from the old school email we all know. It seems like Cloudflare is really elevating email beyond our inboxes.
Indeed, Jamie. By embedding these capabilities, they're making email an integral part of digital workflows. It's about moving email from a silo to a central communication node.
That's fascinating, but I have to ask, how does this affect small businesses compared to larger enterprises?
Great question. For smaller outfits, it's a level up, access to enterprise-level features without the traditionally accompanying costs. It democratizes powerful email-based application features.
Sounds like a revolution on the horizon for email. What's next, Alex? Anything else shaking up the tech world?
Funny you mention it. Up next, we've got something intriguing, codecs for almost everything. We'll dive into that code-powered magic right after this.
So, what's this big update to codecs everyone's buzzing about?
Right, codecs is really making waves. They've rolled out a major update that boosts its ability to assist over 3 million developers weekly. It now does more than just code. It helps operate computers alongside you, manage workflows, and even learns from past actions.
Wait, how does it operate your computer? That sounds like a lot of power.
It's pretty impressive. Codecs can now use all apps on your computer with its own cursor, managing tasks without interfering in your work. Think of it as having a highly skilled assistant working alongside you.
That's amazing. So, what are some actual tasks Codecs can handle now?
Well, it can take care of things like reviewing pull requests, managing development boxes remotely, and even iterating on front-end design changes thanks to an in-app browser and better workflow support.
It sounds perfect for developers who juggle multiple projects, but can it work across different tools and apps too?
Yes, Codecs now integrates with a range of tools through over 90 additional plugins. This was a surprising stat for me. It can now manage tasks in Jira, work with Microsoft Suite, and collaborate directly through GitHub. That's like having a Swiss Army knife of digital tools.
Wow, that's a broad range of functionalities, but isn't automation a bit tricky? How does it ensure it doesn't step on any toes, so to speak?
Good point. Codecs uses improved automation to preserve context, like existing conversation threads, and it schedules future tasks and continues them autonomously. It's like it keeps a mental blueprint of what's happened and what's needed next.
That definitely sounds smarter than your average bot. What's new with how it handles workflow steps?
With Codecs, you can move through all stages of the software development lifecycle faster. It lets you write code, check outputs, review changes, and collaborate all in one seamless workflow. The app is making the entire process incredibly efficient.
And what about for those of us who maybe aren't deep into development but still work with tech daily?
Codecs's upcoming personalization features will soon be available to everyone, including enterprise and educational users. It'll offer context-aware suggestions and memory features to make tech interactions smoother for non-developers too.
It sounds like it's expanding beyond just coding to being more of a general tech assistant then.
Exactly. It's really about bridging the gap between imagination and creation, streamlining things we thought needed a human touch. Imagine starting your workday with Codecs's suggestions on where to pick up. It's a real game changer.
Definitely sounds impressive. Speaking of changes, it's official. Netflix co-founder Reed Hastings is leaving the company. The end of an era, huh?
Reed Hastings, Netflix co-founder, is stepping down as chairman after nearly three decades. It's like the end of an era for this streaming giant.
Wow, nearly 30 years, that's a long time to stick around. What made him finally decide to leave?
According to Netflix, Hastings wants to focus on philanthropy and other pursuits. He co-founded the company in 1997, served as CEO until 2023, and transitioned to chairman. Quite the journey.
Sounds like he laid quite a foundation for Netflix. What's next for the company without him at the helm?
They've announced his departure alongside their Q1 2026 earnings report, showing a 16.2% year-over-year revenue increase. So financially, things are strong and his exit hasn't slowed them down.
Okay, so financially they're strong, but what does his exit mean for Netflix's future direction?
With Hastings leaving, Netflix is navigating interesting shifts. The company is expanding beyond just streaming, think live content, video podcasts, and even gaming.
Gaming, that's intriguing. How are they integrating games into a streaming service?
Recently, they launched Playground, an app for kids, and added Jackbox party games playable from your TV. They're broadening the entertainment landscape.
So they're aiming for that all-inclusive entertainment ecosystem. But what's driving these shifts?
Part of it is their growing revenue streams, higher subscription prices, and a significant boost in ad revenue. They also netted $2.8 billion simply by stepping away from an $83 billion deal with Warner Bros. And HBO Max.
Wait, they walked away and still got paid billions. How does that even work?
It's called a breakup fee from the negotiations. They initially looked to acquire Warner Bros. And HBO Max, but decided against it, walking away with a hefty check without any ties to the deal.
That's some lucrative not doing business right there. What about their mobile app revamp you mentioned?
The revamp is expected this month, featuring a vertical video focus reminiscent of TikTok's format. They're trying to capture mobile users' attention more effectively.
So, video content customization, gaming, and now even mobile experience, they're covering all bases. What's the broader impact here?
It shows a strategic pivot to diversifying their platform. They're not just about binge-watching anymore, which could fend off competition from Disney Plus and Paramount Plus.
Reed Hastings' legacy seems to be about more than just revolutionizing TV. What's his impact in a nutshell?
Hastings prioritized building a company beloved by members and sustainable for generations. His focus on member joy set the stage for Netflix's continued transformation.
Kind of like setting up Netflix for life after its own series finale. I'm curious to see how these strategies pan out moving forward.
I've got to say, the Cloudflare email service really caught my attention. They're not just dabbling, they're trying to redefine digital communication security.
Interesting. I was more shocked by Codex, though. The way it's streamlining developer tasks, that could reshape how we interact with our technology daily.
True, but with all the security threats we hear about, focusing on email protection feels like a crucial step.
Fair point. Though, you've got to admit, seeing Codex grow like this is really exciting. It's like having a virtual tech assistant on steroids.
It's definitely impressive. But let's not forget we're witnessing a tech giant era close with Hastings stepping down.
For sure. So today we unpacked Claude Opus 4.7 quote S, leap forward, Cloudflare's dive into email, Codex's impressive updates, and Reed Hastings's farewell to Netflix.
It's been quite the tech whirlwind. Thanks for tuning in to Hot Reload.
And don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, or tell a friend. We love sharing these tech stories with you.
Until next time, keep your screens bright and your coffee strong.